woke up this morning with the sun down shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun down.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. Now, come out. It's been Weber on the board. S&P Futures up 4.25. As if he was down 11. Big news last night was Google, despite everybody saying how they're into everybody's underwear and they got to be stopped, beat on top and bottom line. Oh, by the way, they're up $120 this morning. So to say that our politicians are ineffective, and that's about the nicest thing you can say about them, is... an understatement. How's that for a happy thought to start the day, Kevin? Kevin with us?
Like the happiest. That makes Wednesday worth living.
Yeah, so it's just so Maddie's team last night got a collective spanking for not wearing masks on the softball field. We got that going for us.
That was a first.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Kevin?
Next time, show up with masks and gloves.
Yeah.
We've been playing.
Bring your baseball mitts and say, "Hey, we have to, you know, we have to keep our hands from getting COVID too."
This is our second.
Didn't we just get guidance yesterday that the masks are not necessary outside?
Yes, this is our second league during the "quote unquote" pandemic. Played the fall league, no issue. Played first 2 weeks of the spring league, no issue. And then about an hour before we're getting ready to head for the field last night. A scathing email comes out to all captains, me being one of them, in the league, saying, "Hey, we've received several complaints. All members must wear masks on the field and in the dugout. Umpire will not start game unless all, you know, 20 guys on the field have masks on." And sure enough, they enforced it. And that was, you know, "Hey, second base, flip your mask up the entire game." I mean, just awful.
Of course, it's...
I have to go find the... I have it somewhere, the FOIA request somebody submitted to the CDC asking them for documentation of the studies that they use for the mask. Oh, here it is. The response was that the CDC is not aware of any randomized controlled trials that show masks or double masks or cloth face coverings are effective against COVID-19.
Yeah.
That's their response to a FOIA request about show us your studies.
Well, we are talking about, you know, a league here that is, you know, is taking abuse from some of the rest of the population, the Gladys Kravitzes of the world. But I love any kind of article that says, instead of saying, "My name is Tom Howe, known as the Chief, and I'm saying this," at least put your little person out into the wind. Don't say, "There have been random complaints from unnamed people, therefore."
Right. I'd really like to know who in the world has ever complained about people not wearing a mask outside on the lakefront at a park.
I can guarantee you.
Because it's never been enforced. It's never been a rule.
I can guarantee you that there are complaints. From random loser people, there are complaints.
But it's never been a rule that you have to wear a mask when you're outside at the park spread out playing a game. Has it? If it has, I've missed it.
way back when, you had to wear a mask everywhere in the park, along the lakefront and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. Talk about an unbelievable email. Jesus. And then sure enough, they made the umpires enforce it, and the umpires don't care.
Well, there I was when this thing first started. And Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle were doing their thing with the county, right? So we had this, this is last year now, we had a real nice day in March or something. And I'm driving back from Audrey's, and I take a different route, and I'm driving through the Forest Preserve. Sure enough, there's one that has this, I don't call them a lake, Kevin, they're a kettle moraine, correct? I don't know what the difference is, but that's what the lakes are in the Forest Preserve, because they're glacier lakes. Anyway, there's something called a kettle moraine, and don't ask me to define it. But sure enough, I see one of these with, it's a beautiful day, and I see maybe 100 cars, people are fishing, there's some trails there, people are going off hiking. Now, nobody's fishing like sitting on somebody else's lap or anything, but they're there. And I said, I'll bet you that next week this thing is closed. And sure enough, next week I go by and there's chains across everything. Now, that tells me, and I don't know if this is not 100%, that some bleep or multiple bleeps took pictures, sent it to Tony, look at these people out here and they're not wearing mass fishing or something along those lines. I guarantee you that there are people who are telling on people all over the place. They have nothing better to do, Kevin and Manny. Guarantee you that somebody was jogging on the lakefront with a mask last week. By the way, I drove home yesterday after this, of course, Biden gets on TV to get his face out there talking about we're letting everybody, we're gonna give you a little bit more freedom. You don't have to wear a mask outside if you've had a vaccination. Now, we're still not throwing any kind of a bone to somebody who already had a disease, and everybody's you know, antibodies from having it are the same as any of these vaccines, but there's still no truck whatsoever with you. You can't do anything. So he goes on there, and sure enough, Jay now has to schedule a news conference so he can say, oh, by the way, if you're outside, you know. Meanwhile, I'm driving home. I must have seen 30 people jogging. I'll say 25 of them had a mask. Everybody on a bike had a mask. As William Simon says, freedom is not something government gives to people. It's something people take from government. I'm not talking about getting your gun going, but why are we unclear on the concept, Kevin?
Jay Pritzker, I thought it was just another name for nothing left to lose.
Yeah, well, it's that true. But why do we think that freedom is something Jay Pritzker gives me? What are we talking about? How do people even think that way? I'm not saying there shouldn't be laws.
Well,
you know what?
There are parts of the country where it was completely different. Very noteworthy among those is South Dakota, where they said, we will give our people information and we will let them make their own decisions.
I absolutely think.
You know, there's pockets of it, but why have we gone so nuts? I don't know. Is it the phenomenon I always cite, that it happens very, very slowly and then suddenly?
Yeah. Well, if you want to be protected, you know, if my mom was still alive and was, you know, frail, she wasn't really, but if she was, and we were going to go to the store, I'd say, hey, Mom, hey, let's swing this mask on. I mean, there's no doubt. I would do that in the flu season, probably. I mean, if she was that compromised. But it's up to you. It's not, I don't see how you get to tell somebody else what to do. I mean, if you want to get a vaccination, protect yourself, knock yourself out. Now we're talking about somebody in the Lori Lightfoot administration is now convinced. She's been convinced. Where the hell she is? Somebody who couldn't get a job as a regular doctor? I don't know. I mean, that's probably a little harsh. But, I mean, she's convinced now we're going to have a, what was the name of it, Manny? A VAS pass? VAX pass. To go to any sort of an outdoor concert or anything like that this summer.
Lots of talks of that from airlines and large outdoor concert gatherings and different states and countries. There's a lot of talk of that.
Well, if the vaccinations work and you got
it is a wildly unpopular concept, and it's going to be hard to make it happen. But I get a kick out of airlines talking about it because, you know, are they flying now?
Yeah.
With unvaccinated people piled on top of each other. So what's about to change that makes that required?
Great question.
Makes no sense to me either. But nothing makes any sense. We don't do things because they make sense anymore.
It seems to be somewhat getting worse. I was reading Biden's new plan here. It's $1.8 trillion in investments and tax credit aimed toward children and families. This reminds me so much
do it for the children, Tom. You can't help but agree.
Of what's his name's, Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty. Maybe you can, there's only one program of that whole mess. I believe this to be true. There's only one program of that whole mess, I think, that has survived to this day. Can you name it?
Food stamps or whatever we call it.
No, that was before. That's the Agriculture Department. I'm going to say Head Start.
When the Great Society, what survived?
I'm going to say Head Start.
Okay.
And I think
which one's Head Start?
The one where you give the kids in really bad neighborhoods, you start bringing them to school before kindergarten age, so they have something to eat and learn some stuff beforehand. It's a great idea in bad neighborhoods.
Yeah, it looks like it's still active too.
Yeah, I think it's the only one. So, let's see.
I never heard of that. I mean, I've heard of that sort of program. I didn't realize it was an actual
program. It's federal money. Yeah, it's federal money. That's what makes it so unique in education. Because most money in education is local, state and local.
Is federal money an oxymoron?
No. Everybody.
Or is the response to that, is there any other kind?
Yeah. Because actually there was a question. Did he say a question? Tom Foley, I remember this because he totally embarrassed one of the stupid market makers, which there were many. Tom Foley came and had breakfast here, and Tom Foley at the time was the Speaker of the House. You see people on TV, you have no idea. Big, huge guy. Back when I was still 6'4", he's bigger than me, and big, huge hands. I mean, the guy must have been pummeled basketball easily. Anyway, gentlemanly dude, and he's sitting there talking, and people start asking him questions. Of course, he's Democratic, and most of the people at the SIBO were all, their money. They walked uphill to school both ways, that kind of thing. So one guy goes, so when is federal government, when are you guys going to do some of this education problem? And he said, well, gee, if you realize in the U.S. we have a totally different system than, say, France. By the way, would you like us to be France? The guy looks at him. He had absolutely no idea what he was talking about, just a typical Dumbo asking some question. He goes, no, why? What's with France? He goes, well, France, the education system in every locale is dictated by the French government. Because they provide all the money comes from the central bank or central government, and every kid in every grade or every class in the entire state on the 15th day of second grade is doing the exact same lesson. He says, do you want that here? And the guy goes, well, hell no. He goes, good, because that's not what we have here. He lobbed out some incredible number, Kevin, like several thousand different school districts in the country, all with semi-autonomous. With basically the shtick here has been that your money from education comes from, when I say local, I mean state and local. He goes, do you really want the federal government to get their nose in all these places? And the guy looks at him and says, well, hell no. He says, well, then the only thing we can do on our end is, and not that we don't, he says, we provide like money for school books, we'll provide money for after school babysitting or something. We try and nip around the edges to make it easier for people maybe that don't have as much money to have their kids in school. We maybe can provide school lunch program. He says, you really don't want us getting everybody's shorts, do you? The guy goes, well, no, I don't. The guy goes, then Foley goes, okay, then.
and yet we've moved in that direction now.
We still don't dictate. I don't think you're right, but then there's the concept of when you have states that are so totally different in resources. I mean, in a lot of areas, certainly areas are different in resource. Should there be some sort of a base number, say $2,000 a year per student that comes from the federal government just as a way to start the thing out, which the states and local to add to. I could probably roll with something like that as an evener-outer, if that's a word.
Sure, but you know what always comes with that.
Oh, and absolutely.
You take our money, you implement our curriculum.
Without a doubt, Kevin. In for a penny, in for a pound, right? I mean, without a doubt. But I'm saying, should there be a way to where, the kid in Posen at least starts out with some, a $2,000 check from the Fed, sort of like, the same kid at Nutria that you can add to. I mean, in Canada, when I went to school there for one part of first grade, in Canada, there's I guess they, I guess you'd call it a voucher system, where if you go to a Catholic school or a private school, if the school is accredited, your chunk of the Canadian tax money that would normally go to the public school follows you to that school. So if you go to St. John Fisher, like I did, you're not paying to go to public school and, oh, by the way, paying again to go to Catholic school. So the whatever number, $500 a year, whatever it was at those, at that time, followed you to, you know, Evergreen Park Southwest, which is right behind our house, that $500 would have followed me to St. John Fisher, because it was an accredited school and they were performing the same function. Now, if you wanted to, you know, have some spectacular gymnasium and all the other stuff, which of course we didn't have, I mean, you were free to spend, you know, another $2,000 there and have, you know, artificial surface football fields if you feel like doing it. But at least your education money followed you. And there's a serious logic to that,
I think. Yeah, and that isn't the way it's done very often here. And I can give you an example in the in my area. The schools all get a certain amount of what's called CTE funding, and it's basically for technical education. And you'd like to think that would follow the students wherever they go. And I know of at least one high school that does that. So if their kids come to my place to take some technical training of some sort, then the funding comes with them and the school pays the bill for them. But in most of the schools, that CTE funding, they just throw it right in their general budget. Good luck trying to pry anything out of the general budget.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, well, plus, I mean,
so it makes it very, very difficult for that to happen. But you know what? And you think about it, is there anything, you know, just based on the structural setup in urban public schools, when people talk about systematic racism, is there anything more systematically racist than the public school, the urban public school system?
Very little.
I can't think of anything else. And yet, I'll say this as a total partisan shot, is what party resists any kind of change to the urban public school arrangement?
I don't, I mean, you and I have a very basic disagreement. I do with a lot of people on the right on this. I don't think that the stuff that goes on in the big cities has anything to do with party. It has to do with who's in charge.
I know what you're saying, but which party has been running them for decades? That doesn't mean the other party would do better or that it would be any different, but we don't know that one way or the other. Because it's not competitive. And as a result, you know, you're saying it might not be any, we've had this argument before, you're saying it might not be any different if it was one party Republican rule. It might not be. It might not be any different if it were competitive. But we don't know that, so in the meantime, who owns it?
Well, I have a different view, and what I'm saying is the idea of having and Roosevelt was one who was against them for the same reason, was against public employee unions, because it turns into not an arm's length transaction. And I think that the same 250,000 votes or whatever the hell they come up with of the Chicago Teachers Union that throw their votes at whoever the city of Chicago now is a non-denominational election. Most people don't even know that. But we accuse them all of being Democrats no matter what. So let's say if a Republican ran, he would have the same
anybody issue. In there, not anybody that's a contender, not a Democrat?
I don't know. Well, you may have to say that, but I'm saying the issue, I think, is you have 250,000 votes that put the person in there, and the person now cannot have an arm's length transaction with the union because they're the ones that put them in there, he or she. So the system by power base stinks. Whether you want to label that person a Democrat or Republican, whoever it is got there because the union put them there.
Is there a party that resists school choice?
They do, but they're not.
Forget the locals. Is there a party on a national level that resists school choice?
Well, that's their power. That's part of the power base. I'm saying it's a political thing. It's not. You know, it doesn't matter what the name of the party is. Somebody is. It's like. It's like the Republicans have the, they used to have, they would take the rich people and the people who don't like that kind of stuff, that's their people. So somebody's always against something, Kevin. So it's just a question of whose power base is on the other side. But in the cities, the fact is, the amount of voters, I mean, we're talking about somebody who was a mayor now by getting 90,000 votes in the primary. And you're talking about, what, a couple hundred thousand people are teachers, and if you want to add, well, she didn't piss them all off, you could add firemen and police and everybody else in there. Well, that's too much, right? So it's that dynamic. Whether she has a Democratic tag on her head or Republican, I think is secondary. That's just my opinion.
Okay. On a national level, is there a party that resists school choice? Because school choice is wildly popular. It's wildly popular among urban parents, and where it has been used, it has been very successful.
It's
but it also gets capped, and it also gets pushback.
Well, let me ask you this: how do charter schools exist? How do they get money from the city or the state, and St. John Fisher doesn't? And what delineates a charter school as being different? Do you have any idea on that? I don't. Manny, do you?
I don't. I would also say, just going back to 10 seconds ago, if you think Lori Lightfoot's a Democrat, I've never seen a Democrat like her. I don't think she's a Democrat at all. I'm not saying she's a Republican, but this idea that just because she has to run as a Democrat because that's the only way you can, you know, win in Chicago, that's fine, but she, what has she done that's Democratic or that aligns with the Democratic Party? I don't know what the hell she is.
Yeah, I don't, as I'm saying, the people, if you were to take Ron, go back to Ron.
Well, I'm not sure what the Biden administration has done that aligns with the Democratic Party as we know it.
Well, I'm not.
Yeah, I agree.
Define the Democrat.
As we have historically known it, so.
Well, define the Democratic Party now and the Republican Party now compared to 15 years ago, and I don't know where we're not. I don't know if we're on foot or horseback there, Kevin. But what I'm saying is,
let me see. The Republican Party is a little easier to define. It's what would happen if the Three Stooges were really, you know, hundreds of stooges.
Well, I guess
that probably goes both sides.
But we're, you know, I guess we're, if you were to take Rahm Emanuel's top 25 people that greased his backside pocket, I will go out on a limb and I'll bet anybody a beer that at least 15 of those people voted Republican.
The CEO of my company that sold the company, so he's no longer there, but that founded the company and built it in Chicago and built it to a 2,000-employee company, was so tight with Rahm, and Rahm cut the ribbon at our new renovation in our building. That guy was the most right-wing guy in the world, and him and Rahm were eating lunch at the country club every day. Rahm didn't give a rat's ass if you were Democrat or Republican.
Yeah, as long as you check, yeah, on the check clerk.
That's all about currying favor for tax breaks and other preferences.
Yep.
Well, that's exactly that's what city government has become, Kevin. That's what it is. Why do you think there's more lobbyists with Amazon across their ass than
ever? Back to my point. Who's responsible for the Chicago public schools?
The city, allegedly.
Yeah, so who's been in charge of it for decades? Is that system serving its community?
I would say no. Well, it's serving the teachers.
Yeah, it's serving the hell out of the teachers.
It's serving the teachers. Sure it is. I mean, it's serving whoever is being served. They're doing fine.
You can go from city to city to city and find it that way.
Okay.
And so, you know, again, this is just one of those things where, you know, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about, you know, I don't want to hear about people, you know, being mistreated from LeBron James while he's wearing the Nike swoosh. I don't want to hear about systematic racism from people who run public schools that are systematically racist.
That's
my beef on
Kevin. We know, unfortunately, that there's an awful lot of white people that, for whatever reason, don't like black people. We also know there's an awful lot of black people that don't like white people, but we can't ever say that. I mean,
the other thing you can't say is there's a whole lot of black people that don't like Asian people, because you hear a lot about the surge in assaults on Asians. Guess what side it's coming from?
Well, we need to get this act together, and I don't know what kind of a leader we're going to need that just
I don't know, but I don't see that leader out there in the political world today.
I absolutely do not. I mean,
I don't see anything. I don't see anything that gets me excited. I can tell you that.
The person, just to talk about old school, how I am, that person would have to not be so afraid to write down what he thinks so people could actually read it, and not have, and not be the Bill Clinton school where you essentially do a, by the way, did you ever, Maddie might have done this if they were around, because he was always looking for $100.
Still am.
Did you ever go to one of those focus groups?
No.
Did you, Kevin?
Oh, I did some focus groups for tech products a long time ago.
You know who did? Your son, Chief Thomas, did some focus groups for money.
When Dr. J and I first started on the floor, and I was trading with like nothing in my account, and he was my employee, and he was barely getting paid. Robin, who's been on the show, she knew some. Some older Jewish lady used to put these things together, and she would call us all the time. So we probably went to 10 of them. Dr. J and I would go. We'd sit there for 2 hours. We'd opine. We'd get our $200 cash, and we'd head out to some real nice restaurant, have a few cocktails, and split the other 100.
It's not a bad night.
It wasn't a bad night. We'd spend 50 apiece at some nice place, and he goes, "All right, here's your 50. Here's my 50." We both go up with 50 in our pocket, and we had some cool ones. Like who would buy a Mercedes sports car? And the stuff people would say. Hey, we'll talk about this after break. It's hilarious. SP Futures up 250. The NASDAQ Futures down 13. Again, Google the big winner, up $124. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Station Jax. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber on the board listening to this crazy stuff this morning. And participating, Matty. Not just, you know, you're adding to the crazy stuff. What can I tell you? S&P futures up 2, NASDAQ futures down 19, which is interesting because Google's up 122. Boeing's earnings just came out and the stock's down $1.50. Looks like they beat on top and bottom line. Now, how are these guys even in business? You know, with planes sitting on the runways all over the country, I don't know, but they are. That's what federal money will get you, I guess. Dow futures down 23. As a way of review, yesterday was talking about a dud day. Dow was up 3, NASDAQ futures down 90 cents. I'm sorry, NASDAQ futures down $48, and the S&P futures down 90 cents, so very much of a dud day. Over in Europe today, we've got the DAX up 64.4%, FTSE up 32.4%, CAC up 36.6%, so the CAC leading the pack over there. In Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 62.2%, Shanghai up 14.4%, Hang Seng up 129.4%. So across the board, mild rallies over there. We've got bonds up one point to 163. We've got the bond pushing towards zero again, minus 0.22. Japan positive 0.09. UK over 0.8, 0.8182 this morning, up 4 basis points. So big move in the UK bonds. Oil, 51 cents, 63.45, up over 63, obviously. Brent up 44 cents, 66.86. Natural gas up 2 cents, 289. RBOB back over $2 at 203. And we've got gold down $12 to 17.66. Silver down 47 cents, 25.94. Copper down a penny, 4.47. We still have gold doing this as interest rates creep up, gold going down, which is something you would sort of expect, except if interest rates are going to be 10% because inflation's 12%, you probably see gold at like 4,000. So it's kind of an odd way of pricing gold. It's good for a while, but we're not sure it's good forever. Bitcoin up 122, very quiet this morning, 54,948. So it was 64, under 50, and now back to 55. So it's all over the place. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Absolutely no accidents or significant issues to speak of on the Kennedy, Edens, Lakeshore Drive, Eisenhower, and Stevenson, all quiet. Southside Expressway is looking good, too. So enjoy a nice, quiet commute if you're heading into downtown. Only crash in the area is at Irving Park Road. Looks like on the eastbound side at Des Plaines River Road, there's a crash block in the right lane on Irving Park. But everything else all quiet. Weather today, a lot different than yesterday. Clouds, cold temperatures, rain in the forecast, a high of just 59. Right now it's overcast and 48. This is yesterday where we had a high of 89. So obviously a 30-degree dip in highs in a 24-hour period, which is always fun. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 83. Right now it's clear and 55. In sports, White Sox had a 2-1 lead late, and the bullpen surrendered 4 runs to the Tigers as they fell to Detroit 5-2. Cubs' offense continues to sputter. After winning 4 in a row, they've now dropped 4 in a row and are .500 in their last 8 games after getting shut out by the Braves last night 5-0. Diamondbacks topped the Padres 5-1. And in hockey, the Blackhawks were involved in an 11-goal game. But they lost. They were on the losing end, falling to Tampa Bay 7-4. Chief.
The more to words of your buddy JD last night, at some point, you've got to be able to beat a good pitcher and not just strike out all the time.
I mean, that's true.
The Cubs, this goes back to their last 2 playoff appearances. They run into good pitchers and all they do is strike out.
Their offense is awful. And their pitching, especially after trading Yu Darvish for, I mean, the prospects they got back may turn out to be great in a few years, but right now, as a fan of a big market team, you feel like you got nothing in return. Their pitching is awful. And their strength seems to be Craig Kimbrell right now, which is funny, but if you don't have a lead heading into the ninth inning, he doesn't even play. So it's, they're really hard to watch.
Well, real quick,
they are hard to watch. Tell students all the time, the only two things in the world that genuinely offend me are bad baseball and bad management, and the Cubs are bad baseball.
They might be both, Kevin. Bad baseball and bad management.
Well, I got the fix at the end of the year.
Good point.
The end of the year.
From my standpoint, it isn't so much the decision making of bad management that bugs me. It's, you know, it's basically managers who are managed like jerks.
Well, at the end of the year, we're going to fire the hitting coach again, and we'll be okay next year.
That'll make it all better. Yeah.
Can I speak for 20 yeah. seconds about the weather yesterday? I've never seen anything like this. It was like we were living in San Francisco. So for those in the Chicagoland area, yesterday was the nicest day of the spring so far, I would say. It was 85 and sunny. There was a nice little breeze. It was not humid. It was just gorgeous. And everyone, of course, the city comes alive when you have one of those great spring days that sort of hint at the summer. And the let's just say the young women were out and about, and people were walking their dogs, and everyone's going to the park.
Wearing less than they were a month ago.
Yes, and it was one of those days where it reminds you why you live in Chicago, because there's a six-month period where you go, why the hell do I still live here? Then, so anyway, we have a softball game. So the WAGs, as we call them, the wives and girlfriends, start texting back and forth, hey, this would be a good time to come out and watch the guys play softball, bring the kids, bring the dogs, have a picnic, bring a cooler, you know, with some wine or beer or whatever, and let's make a day out of it. So our game is scheduled for 7:20, and the ladies, a good portion of them, 8 or 10 women and 5 or 6 of their kids, they go out there at 6, set up the blankets, the coolers, the kids are running around, and they're having a great time. All of a sudden, I'm about to leave my house, and I get a text from one of them that's there, and it says, hey, FYI, the temperature just dropped, like, big time. Not sure what happened, but, you know, if you're thinking about coming out, be sure to bring a sweater. And I have, like, a t-shirt and shorts on. I'm like, my car's, you know, packed up. I'm ready to head to the game. And I'm like, what is she talking about? It's 88 degrees. So I get in the car, I drive toward the lake, and I'm in Bucktown, and, you know, 2 miles from the lake. I get to Halstead, which is, you know, sort of the last main street before you get to the lakefront, and my temperature gauge on my car, all of a sudden, it's at 88, it's sunny, I got the windows down, it goes, I'm just kind of paying attention to it, it goes 87, 86, 85, 84, and I'm talking in the matter of seconds, 83, 82, 81, 80, all of a sudden, 72, 71, 65, 64, it goes from 88 to 57 when I crossed Halstead. It was like a cold front was sitting on top of the lakefront. All of a sudden,
on top of your car, maybe.
Right. Everyone pulls in. No one's dressed appropriately. We played. It was 55 degrees with a 30-mile-per-hour wind. It felt like it was 35 degrees when it was 85 all day long, and it was 85 up until, like, Halstead. All of a sudden, it dropped. It was like we were in San Francisco.
And those, you know, those cold games, it's so much fun to go out on a warm day, and, you stretch for about 30 seconds and you're loose and you're ready to play. Then you go out on a cold day, you never get loose.
Never.
You never feel good. You know, you never feel really like you're okay. And if you play first base and you get one of those, you know, 40 degree early season games, your hand just takes a beating. You know, everything hurts when it hits your hand. And the worst is before the first inning. Before, you know, you go out to start the game, and every one of your infielders wants to get that last one throw. and so you're rolling the ball around the infield, and it's like, whack, whack, whack. Please hit fly balls.
Well, last week...
I can't take another hit to the hands.
Last week, it was 40 degrees. And it sucked. Like, and just like Kevin said, you know, your hands hurt. You're not comfortable, but you at least dressed for it because you knew it was 40 degrees. Last night it felt worse because everyone's dressed for 85 because that's what it was all day long, and that's what it was in your neighborhood when you got in the car and headed to the park. And then all of a sudden it's 55, and it feels the real feel has got to be like 38. But everyone's wearing shorts and a t-shirt, no long sleeves, no pants, no, you know, hoodie, nothing. I mean, that was as cold as I've ever been playing softball. It was awful.
Wow. It's nasty when it's, especially if you're sweated up before. Ugh.
But have you ever seen a cold front like that literally dropped 30 degrees?
Well,
I'm talking like a 50-foot radius. I mean, you crossed, it went from 88 to 57 in a 50-foot span.
Sure, we've had them, but not a second after a second before you were heading to something to do. I mean,
then the funny thing was, we're sitting at the park, and everyone's like got their phones out, and they're like, well, the weather app says it's still 81. We're like, well, it's not.
Well, the weather app's full of it.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when I first trip to San Francisco, and I was young, what was it? Allied Van Lines, for God's sake. So we stayed somewhere. Actually, we stayed between Candlestick Park and the airport. So, of course, it's, you know, 3:30, and I go, all right, before I go to dinner, I was, you know, I looked a little different back then. I'll go out and run my 4 or 5 miles, so, and along the bay, this will be cool. So I head out, and I run along, and it, like you say, man, it had to be 90. And I turned back toward the hotel, And all of a sudden the wind just came up like it did at Candlestick Park. It had to be like 45. And I'm all sweated up. And I'm sitting there going, I gotta make it back to the hotel because if I stop here and walk, I'm in trouble.
That's how you get pneumonia.
Yeah, it was like that bad. I'm like, if I'm walking, I might not get there, you know, cause I was all sweated up. And, you know, what do you have on? You know, jogging shorts and a tank top, right? Back when I had a shape for that. And I'm like, I make it back. I'm going, what an idiot I am. I've watched this happen to the Cub games all these years. It wasn't going to happen to me. But still, it was the rapidity of it, like you're saying last night. But now the women, I'm assuming, didn't make it through the game.
They didn't make it to first pitch.
They all just took off?
They all left. Yeah. And I don't blame, I mean, everyone, the women were
they could.
Yeah. Exactly. The women had, you know, like, they were wearing dresses or, you know, whatever, the spring clothes. The kids were there with shorts and T-shirts on. Everyone brought coolers. Everyone's ready to, you know, kick a soccer ball around or play catch with a baseball or whatever. And all of a sudden, 20 minutes before the game even starts, they all leave. They're like, we can't hang around. And we had to play a game.
Should have asked for a coffee run or a hot chocolate run or at least a, you know, sweatshirt run.
That would have been perfect.
Well, real quick on the.
Hey, before we get away from this, I wanted to just do a quick follow up on your conversation with John the other day. You were talking about rental cars in demand, and it got me to thinking, which is always a dangerous prospect. But what you were describing is something in supply chain management called the bullwhip effect. Did you guys play the beer game?
I was going to, but I forgot to send it to my home email. Otherwise, I would have.
Oh, okay. Well, we can arrange for that. The idea is what happens is when you get shifts in demand, it cascades through the supply chain, and it only gets worse the farther back you go. So it's the other word for it is, you know, the technical word for it is demand amplification. And what happens is you get that shift, and it cascades back through supply chains. So what did you see with the rental car companies is all of a sudden there was no demand or very little demand for rental cars. So they made some rational decisions, which means, they've got a lot of capital tied up in automobiles, and they don't want the capital tied up in automobiles if they're not getting revenue from them. So they sell them. They sold fleets of them, which is why used cars were such a popular buy during the pandemic, you know, when everybody was sent home. And so now they want to recover, and you sort of see that wavy, you know, response to it, and they want to recover back, and the auto industry can't keep up with the resurgent demand. Part of the reason the auto industry can't keep up with the resurgent demand is that they themselves, and let's just focus in on chips, they themselves cut back on their production. So in many cases they shifted it to PPE. In other cases they just scaled back because people weren't buying new cars. And so one of the things that they scaled back on orders was chips. Meanwhile, there was a increase in demand for chips because lots of people were buying more computers, more tablets, more webcams, more speaker devices, all of that, because everybody was home and needed to equip themselves to work from home. So you see these different forces where the demands are shifting all over the place, and now we're trying, you know, as the markets try to get back to normal and start to move themselves in a much more normal type of, you know, status quo ante, they can't do it because everything shifted. The automobiles dealers or the auto manufacturers stopped ordering chips, among other things. Meanwhile, the chip demand shifted elsewhere. It isn't easy to shift it all back, and there's a lot of literature about this now in say the last 6 months that is talking about something I've mentioned a lot of times on the show here, is that there is a strong push for things like chips, things that have been manufactured overseas. There's a big push for a lot of that to get manufactured back in the United States, that people are willing to make the capital investments to get their unit costs down and not get paid back in a year or two, maybe it'll be longer because they're now seeing what happens with the disruption in supply chains, and they want more predictable supply chains.
Well, they may want more predictable ones, but I don't necessarily think that this is one of those where this chief dude really hopes he's wrong. I don't buy it, Kevin. It's like for a moment in my being pissed off at Chinese for sending a vaccine, something as I might go out and buy, you know, one pair of blue jeans at $100 that are made in the U.S. But I guarantee you, next time I go out, especially if I had five kids, I'm going right to some place and buying them for $25 that are made in China. It lasts
the point
a nanosecond.
They're cheaper because they're made in China because the labor cost is cheap. If you can substitute automation for labor content, then you can get the marginal cost of production down, and you can make it competitive. So now the question is, okay, how fast do you need to be repaid for the automation? Traditionally, people used to say 3 years. You remember those days, right? If I get a 3-year payback on the investment, I'm in pretty good shape, right? And over the years, I've seen that squeeze. You know, so a lot of people will do 2, 1 would be even better. You know, everybody was really, really aggressive about how quickly they wanted to get paid back on the CapEx. But now I think you're seeing the line of thinking shift and said, well, you know what, if it's more than 3 years, I have a reliable supply chain and my unit costs are still competitive with cheap labor overseas.
Here's a quote here from the Facebook co-founder on the record. The free market is dead. Kevin, I'm going to say that, well, you've been on the show pretty much since the start, and you and Maddie maybe could search for a theme once in a while, but to me there is absolutely a theme. And the theme is all the little disparate, crazy stuff we talk about, to me, all is part of a whole. It's you know, you can't play softball because you banged your little toe into the bedboard the night before. Well, you don't even look at your little toe until one day it hurts and you can't run. You know, to me, the economy is like the human body. I say this every other day and people think I'm nuts. It either is all together, and every month, every week, not every show, thank God, we identify some piece of what I consider to be a healthy economy that is just not working maybe the way it should be working. The ability to walk into a bank if you're a plumber and get a loan. Not that you can't find a knee breaker somewhere to still get your loan for more money, or you can pay 15% or 12 or something when Amazon's paying 2, you know, that kind of crap. I mean, every time we talk about something, we pull a little bit of a scab away. Well, Maddie already, you know, I'm not talking out of school, but Maddie has the student loans thing all taken care of and so forth. Maddie could, if he saw something open in somewhere in the supply chain, make a move, quit his job, and do it. Whether his wife would want him to, or whether he would want to take the savings out of planning for a family or condo or whatever else makes sense, whether he would do it or not, that's his decision. But the ability to do it, at least he doesn't have, you know, $500,000, well, $400,000 of student loans hanging over his neck. He doesn't have those kinds of things. Thank God. But I just see this constant. There's always a retarder in what used to be something that was pretty easy in this country, Kevin. The fact that the supply chain is taking so much time to get back together, and the fact that all of a sudden, you know, the containers are crazy full coming from China, and by the way, they're empty going back, means that there's a bigger problem here now than maybe you and I ever thought, and maybe not, maybe bigger than it was last year.
A big part of that problem was container shortage.
Well,
China's economy recovered before they weren't shipping things, so the reason that the containers are going back empty is that China hadn't been sending, you know, spent a long time not sending containers this way in the first place. Now that they're seeing economic recovery, they don't have the containers there because they were neither shipping them out nor importing them back, and that whole market was stagnant. That's another bullwhip effect.
Well, I have a hunch that, and I'm not blaming Trump because he, I think, tried to open up this China thing. I don't think he did a very good job at it. But at the end of the day, and I should check these numbers before I open my pie hole here. At the end of the day, I'm going to say our imports are pretty much where they were when he opened his mouth, and our exports are down to China. And which is not... I'm going to say which is not at all the outcome we were looking for. And I could be off a little bit, but the point being is these moves to the supply chain, they should be... I think it's very, very difficult for... We have more companies. I had a call from a listener the other night and said that he knows of guys in the lumber business. They own a sawmill, for lack of a better term, and they're holding their stuff off the market for a month because they think the inflation is going to be more in a month. Well, okay, but if everything was competitive, if there were enough sawmills, you wouldn't do that, right? But when it's not. But here I'm going over this this thing from, I just happened to put this up talking about what's got me in a grumpy mood here is I'm looking at, this is Biden's new plan for the second infrastructure, right? Now I'm just reading this, and this is that's why I brought up earlier the fact that out of Johnson's plan, the only thing left is Head Start, and what percentage, Kevin, you were around? We were both young. We were both Utes. What percentage of Johnson's money in the Great Society program do you think made it to the end user? I'm going to say 20% at best. Almost like a foreign country. How much was stolen along the way? Appropriated along the way. Stolen is such a bad word. Now, I'm looking at these numbers. Here's number one. $225 billion toward high-quality child care and ensuring families pay only a portion of their income toward child care services based on a sliding scale. God, what is wrong with that? If this is any, let me get this straight. $225 billion. So we're talking about $1,000 almost a family, right? $800. We got 330 million people, right? So you divide one into the other, you got it toward a family. All right. So now, are we going to say that if you and your wife both work and your wife does not make very much money, but still is going to work. Say she's going to make $12 an hour. Somehow or another, the federal government is going to turn around and pay a child care person $20 an hour to watch her kids while she's making $12 an hour working. Are we really going to be dumb enough to go down that road instead of just paying her $15 an hour to stay home?
Well, two things. One, the answer is yes, and two is, when did I get a wife, and why wasn't I informed?
Yeah. I'm going to say, out of this $225 billion, how are we going to do this? I mean, what is the mechanism for saying send your wife or husband? I mean, it could be the wife, could be the major wage owner in this day and age. Send a wife to work and have the guy go work as a greeter at Walmart, and we'll give you $25 an hour for your child care. We're really going to do that? Based on a sliding scale, that the person, that's a lot of money, Kevin. For God's sake, that's more than the federal budget was 20 years ago.
This is logic going out the window. So yeah, I'm with you, Tom. I'm 100% with you.
$225 billion.
I don't know which is worse: that government is inherently corrupt or inherently inefficient. But in most cases, it seems to insist on being both.
$225 billion to create a national comprehensive paid family and medical leave program. Now, one thing I can guarantee you, I mean, Milton Friedman was a guy who, the whole world was solved by competitive pressures. I never was quite in that camp. But let me get this straight. I worked at several companies before I became a trader. And see, at Pullman, if you were sick, they paid you. If you were hungover, they didn't. And the last thing they needed was federal help in this logic, right? Now, how exactly are you going to how does this money get to the person? If the company says Matty Weber has got the flu for 4 days, does that mean they're getting a check from the government to pay for Matty Weber being off when they're paying him anyway? I mean, what exactly are we trying to accomplish here? I mean, Are we talking about somebody who is going through massive chemotherapy and can't work, and the company just, you know, offs him, right? Well, if they off him, now, is that part of unemployment? I mean, what is this, another program? What is this? Is it double up on? What exactly are we? What is the harm here that we're trying to accomplish? I mean, where do we think the hole is in the system that we're trying to plug? And oh, by the way, it's $225 billion worth. I mean, that's a lot of dough. I mean,
well, and so when you start saying that though, and you know, you start throwing out what the math looks like on it, you know, it's the same thing. When you look at the infrastructure job, and the administration will brag up the number of jobs that they think it's going to create, and if you do a little math, you find out that means we're spending $600,000 per job to create them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not saying,
you know, because we're not good at math or science, and that's been on display for all to see for a long time. But we just caught the science up to the math as far as our incompetence with it.
But I'm not convinced, Kevin. I mean, I'm going to say I don't know enough about these programs to say that there aren't holes. I mean, is it possible? I mean, PTI. God, I hope we would never do something like this. But is it possible to have somebody who gets, terminal cancer, for us to, you know, if we wanted to, lay the person off, drop his insurance, and he's somehow picked up by Medicaid, if he's picked up by he or she, and now all of a sudden there's no income, and oh, by the way, the Medicaid doesn't cover half the stuff that the person is getting. Is it possible to screw somebody to that in that regard, to where there's this massive hole in their life or their family's life for all the savings? I'm not saying it's not possible, Kevin, because I know these programs don't all mesh together.
No, but Tom, if that were all that, and I know we got to go. If that were all that we were trying to fix, then we could do that for a whole lot less than the trillions we've spent.
Yeah.
If we were trying to handle the catastrophes, the real bad stories out there, then that's solvable. But those are, kind of one-offs. Maybe it's 1,000 off, or 10,000 off. I don't know what the number is, but that's solvable without, dictating the whole damn system.
Well, yeah, and we're doing 100. And, well, we'll talk about this on Friday, but $109 billion toward ensuring 2 years of free community college for all students. Well, we'll go through that number on Friday because you're aware of that. But
good for me, huh?
Yeah,
that's guaranteed.
If you get a double salary, is that the intended result? I mean, it would be for us or you, but
I think so. Yeah, I think that's absolutely that should be the intended result.
SP Futures down $1. As if you're down 27, be right back. Russell Rhodes.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person, consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@realtor.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Russell Rose in studio. Brought us coffee. Thank you, Russell.
Yay. Always good to see Russell.
Any shame bearing coffee. Gifts. The traffic's getting worse and worse and worse. And it just, and I think it's not as many people want to take the train, but they're starting to come downtown. So,
well, you know what?
I barely made it. And I gave you guys the choice. Can I be a couple minutes late, maybe? But if I show up with coffee, and the vote was 2-0, bring us coffee.
Absolutely.
And possibly be late.
Well, we played a couple extra minutes of commercials. All good. Mm-hmm. No one knows the difference.
I think, Russell, that if you were to do a rigorous study, like only an economist could do, you'll find that the people are driving right by downtown. There's no more people in the lots here.
Yeah, the lot that I normally park in was complete, that I sneak into and don't pay for. God, I hope they're not listening, because I assume they're not parking and forcing between 7 and 8 a.m., and then I jump in the car and head up to Loyola. But yeah, it was completely empty. But I do think there's more and more traffic just because of that. I wonder if it's always going to be like that, if people are going to be
uncomfortable
riding the train, which I'm not. But
no, I'm not either. Yeah. Anyway, I have all kinds of questions for you. We got stuff with.
I was listening.
Yeah,
you can bring up first hour stuff too.
Well, I
used to be on a school board. I can explain all that school stuff inside and out.
Well, I guess some of the reluctance we're seeing the supply chain not snapping to it as quick as maybe you and I are used to in this country. Is that just because we've become very impatient, or because there's been damage to the supply chain that is just there?
I think there's a level of impatience there. And I'll give you, and I think that's part of us living somewhere that if we want something, we can get it within 3 hours, period. You know, I mean, we may have to drive from store to store, but we can pretty much find anything that we want because there are 100 Best Buys in the Chicago area. There's a Home Depot every time you get off an exit on one of the expressways. We have all the stuff that we want here. And I think we're spoiled in that way, and we don't realize how spoiled we are until you go to the grocery store and there's like a whole aisle of something that's missing. Yeah, I think toilet paper is what comes to everybody's mind right now. But we're just so used to being able to get exactly what we want when we want. And I think it's going to be a while until we can get exactly what we want when we want. Or the people that can pay more for what they want when they want are going to push the prices up.
Well, it's there's a certain rapidity to the way the U.S. system has always worked, and I, as you know, I've been chirping, for lack of a better term, and one of the things about student loans makes people less likely to become an entrepreneur because God help you if you don't make that payment, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of other things make it less. The fact that the banks and everybody are dying a loan to Microsoft at 2.5%, but they won't give you a plumber a rate at all. They won't let you in the door. I mean, there's huge discontinuities in being able to find financing. So I don't think that used to be quite like that. All these little things, I think, are sort of chipping together to the point where, of course, we're not going to have a chip manufacturer here for 5 years. Why would you think anything different, you big dummy? Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to me that we've been poking holes at the U.S. system of anybody can start anything whenever they want any given day for a long period of time now, and the response time is just lousy. I think because of that, mm-hmm. for a million reasons, none of which you can really point your finger to, other than that they're all there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like. You know, Dizzy Dean threw his arm out because he broke his toe, right? What's the connection? Well, he didn't let his toe heal.
And then he was,
So, I mean, you're more into this, and Kevin certainly is, because clearly some of this stuff is not that difficult to come across. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, you know, as much as Kevin was disagreeing with me, I'm going to say if you were an entrepreneur in the last 20 years and you invested money thinking that somehow or another people were going to pay for American workers, American quality, anything like that, I'm going to say you're on Skid Row. I mean,
with some of exceptions. You know the WeatherTech folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they make their stuff here, and it's super nice, and it's kind of cool. And I think they've done so, but they actually live out in my neighborhood. And I think they've done fairly well, but you really got to find like a really interesting niche, you know. And I think they found a really interesting niche.
Well, I actually had those in my older truck, and I actually have the back thing in my Suburban is a WeatherTech, but
mm-hmm.
They do a lot of commercials. Their whole thing is it's fit just for your stuff. By the way, we make it here, but. Bottom line is, it's a good product.
Yeah, they're the only ones that are doing so now. If somebody over in China figures out that they could make the exact same things and then start selling them via Amazon, the WeatherTech folks might be in a little bit.
Well,
of trouble.
if you kick but. On, you know, I do this once in a while. If you kick on your people, because I order auto parts,
mm-hmm.
there'll be five other brands of mats that are from other places.
Yeah.
And they are cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I happen to have one of those for them in the front seats in my, because they didn't, the WeatherTech didn't make blue in the Suburban inside.
You are so picky.
Oh, I mean, I didn't want to put black in my blue rug.
I understand.
Just saying. But
I can't even tell the difference between blue and black.
So I'm going through this list of stuff here. God, I know I'm showing my age. This reminds me of the war on poverty again.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the end of 20 years, we're going to say, where'd all that money go? Now, explain to me how you would have your students, $225 billion toward a high-quality child care and ensuring families pay only a portion of their income toward child care services based on a sliding scale. What in God's name is that all about, Russell? And why is $225 billion the number? That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of. I mean, how many kids do we have? How many people? When you hear a really big number like that, which, you know, it's imperceptible, the thought of me having that much money in my bank account. So it just kind of, I think it's difficult for us to wrap our minds around. But I think if you figure out, all right, well, how many families would qualify for that? And what's that a dollar per family? I think that gives you an idea whether it's a good idea or not. You know, there's 300 million people in America. Let's say there's 75 million families, which is probably being generous. You know, what is 75 million into that 225 billion? It's a big number.
Yeah, well,
still.
Now we've got 225 billion to create a national comprehensive paid family and medical leave program. You know, we'll give Maddie Weber his job. Maddie, are you listening? Can you figure out how many 3 and 4 year olds there are in this country?
Probably.
$200 billion for free universal preschool for all 3 and 4 year olds offered through a national partnership with states. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when they say national partnership with states, do you know what they mean?
Actually, I don't. I
mean, means if you don't do it our way, you don't get the money. And you guys talk, and that works its way into the school systems as well.
By the way, there are 1.6 million 3- and 4-year-olds in the United States.
All right, so
led by California, where there's 245,000 of them.
All right, so one point, how many million?
They're all named Moon Unit. They're hippies.
Moon Unit.
Sorry.
What was the 200 billion divided by how many? 1.4 million.
1.6 million.
No, 225 divided by 1.6.
That's a
big number. That's like six figures a kid, isn't it? I don't know. It's early.
It's early yet.
I'm still scrambled from the Eisenhower.
Yeah.
What's the number? I can do the math real quick.
200 billion.
Yeah. 225 billion divided by 1.6 million.
All right.
Yeah. Now we've got another $109 billion toward ensuring 2 years of free community college for all students, and another $85 billion toward Pell Grants, increasing the maximum award by about $14,000 for low-income students. $62 billion to increase college retention and completion rates. This is... I'm one of these people that I actually believe this guy who used to live around here before he got shot, named Martin Luther King, where you don't judge people by the color of their skin. How do you get away with this? A $39 billion program that gives 2 years of subsidized tuition for students from families earning less than $125,000 enrolled in a 4-year historically black college or university, tribal college, university, or minority serving institution. So if I'm making less, my family makes less than 125, and I go to Jackson State, I get a scholarship. Do I have to be black?
That's what it sounds like.
Do I have
like.
To be black, or do I have to go historically?
No, you can. I got a funny story around this one. I got a funny story. You don't, just because it's a historically black school doesn't mean that you have to be African American to go there.
All right. So what happens if 500 Asians apply to Jackson State or Grambling?
I assume they would get in just like anybody else.
I
would make an assumption that's what it's supposed to be. I know a couple of guys that couldn't get into graduate school anywhere, and they went to Clark Atlanta for their MBA, so they didn't have to go to Vietnam.
Here's what you and I, just as economists,
but they got in.
You officially and me half-assed. $200 billion. No, I'm without leading the witness.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me what happens here. $200 billion to make permanent the $1.9 trillion COVID stimulus's plan provision, lowering health insurance premiums for those who buy coverage on their own. Now, I'm going to say, just as a half-assed economist, that the federal money pouring in there is going to be like money pouring in for tuition, and that the insurance companies are going to up the number so that when the federal government pays it down, instead of paying $1,000 a month, the fee will now be $1,500, and the government will pay $500, and you'll still pay your $1,000.
Probably.
So
I can see it.
Tell me some good economic news here.
Good economic news? There are a lot of people driving in this morning.
Yeah.
No, but that is a guy. Yeah, it sounds like I'm being kind of stupid when I say that, but I think that is a positive. Every time you leave the house in Chicago, it probably costs you $10 or $20.
Well, there's still nobody down.
Which means the velocity of money starts moving around. Yeah, there's nobody up around Loyola still really as well. But they're creeping in here. It's opening back up.
Is it opening back up? Because, I mean, is somebody peeing on our shoes and telling us it's raining? I mean,
no. Things are getting better. They're getting slowly but surely.
Is it the dramatic opening up that you're hearing? I mean,
that's the thing. Is it's not like I heard somebody talk about Rom cutting the ribbon earlier. It's not like it. You know, it's not like all of a sudden. We're reopened and everybody's out and about. There's still people that are cautious about it, et cetera.
I don't.
You know, I think probably part of the disappointment is, you know, I've gotten I'm vaccinated now, and you know what's changed in my life since I got vaccinated?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. I still got to get tested once a week to go teach at Loyola, even though I've been No, absolutely nothing.
Why is this, as somebody who already had the COVID, and everything I read says that if you've had it, your antibodies are virtually the same as if you've got the vaccine. There has never been a bone thrown to people who had it.
By the way, we double checked and triple checked the math. It's just under $1,400 a kid.
Yeah.
$1,400?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it would be way higher than
that's
that.
That's of every single kid.
Yeah.
All 3- and 4-year-olds in the U.S.
And which, you know, you're never going to get universal coverage. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are we really going to ship that $1,400 to Nutrier for kids that are 3 years old? I doubt it. There'll be something about people that are too rich.
There is. That's when you guys were talking about school stuff. That's part of the amount of federal funds that get kicked back to school districts is an inverse with the wealth of the district, and that's completely understandable. But you don't get any federal funds unless you follow the rules that they want you to follow. So a lot of the richer districts just forego the federal money.
Yeah, the only issue with that is, as we're seeing these tax rates. Well, I'm going to ask you: how is it that yet again in my lifetime we're talking about increasing capital gains taxes, increasing this, and how rich these people are, and we still can't touch the $3,000 deduction number? How is it that we never? Why is this? Does this seem to me like a heads you win, tails I lose deal, or is it just me?
I can't see any positive out of it. So it may just be a heads you win, tails you lose thing. There's no way it's ever going to work out.
So if I buy a stock that and I make $1,000,000 on it,
mm-hmm.
and now I owe 43.6% to the government, right?
Yeah.
Now if the guy who buys it from me, if the stock runs back down to where it was, he loses $1,000,000, and he can only deduct $3,000 a year. At least with ordinary income, one you can write ordinary income off against just about anything, right?
Yeah.
Now, how does this hang in there? How does anybody not see that this is an outrage? Because every time there's a bubble and a bust, as many people lose money as make money.
Oh yeah, and there are people that will. I know this has happened to a couple of people that were kind of riding this wave into this year with the GameStop and everything, that had a really good, and it's more of a short-term gains than long-term gains, but had a really good 2020 and then maybe blew themselves up in 2021, but they also have a big old bill for the tax man and they don't have any money to pay it with.
Well, that's fine.
I actually had a student who caught GameStop, made about $30,000-$40,000 off of it, and asked me what he should do next. And I said, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to put maybe 20 of it into something that you can't touch until it's time to pay the tax man, because you're going to have a tax bill around it. And the kid was absolutely shocked. And I was like, so you're going to have to give probably a third of it to the government in his case. So he did do that, and he actually managed to lose the rest of it in his brokerage account.
Well, at least you can match one up against the other if it's all capital gains.
But he had capital gains in 2020, and now it's 2021, and that's when he lost all the money.
Yeah, but you got to pay in 2020.
Yeah, that's what he's got to pay in 2020, and now he's got tax losses until he's about 30 years old.
Well, no, he gets to carry that forward, the winner.
Oh, yeah.
But so he'll get a rebate in 2021 when he's under a bridge.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right? Yeah. Well, that's truth.
I mean, have you ever been on an IRS payment plan?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the person I worked with was wonderful, probably the best person that worked at the IRS.
I'm going to say the best people you ever want to owe money to, without a doubt.
Well, I think they're just kind of used to it.
Well, but you know what? If you can't... It's the only place on earth that if you can't pay a month, they'll just add a month to the end. I mean, I don't know if they'll do it 10 months in a row, but once in a while they'll do it for you.
The IRS knows you can't get blood from a stone.
Yeah.
None of my students know what that phrase means.
Well, the Irish call it blood out of a turnip.
Okay. Maybe if I said that at Loyola, some of them would understand it.
that's possible. Yeah. But I'll try that. But I mean, I don't see where these massive governmental programs. They've just. I mean, it's like. I don't know. I guess that first of all, I should have just graduated. Maybe not even gone to Notre Dame. I should have just.
No, you should have gone to Notre Dame.
Well, I should just have stopped there, gotten like a regular job someplace. Maybe you know what? I should have just gone to work for a bank, which nobody wanted to do because you didn't make any money. And by the way, you had to have 5 suits because you have a suit every day. You know, you don't have money to buy them. And just stayed there and been a good employee. And every time the place merged, I would have had stock in the place and just got money and moved up to the next place to where I'd be working at a bank making God knows how much. Mm-hmm. You know, millions of dollars a year.
And you would have been able to work from home for over a year.
Yeah, I would have been able to. instead of actually being an entrepreneur, because nothing is more difficult than being an entrepreneur in this day and age. Because God help you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially if you're in a regulated industry, because they can't wait to mess with you because you're low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. Low-hanging fruit. It's just, but there's all kinds of other reasons. You can't get loans the same way somebody else can. I mean, it's absolutely crazed. I mean, how is it that we've buried the American system, in my opinion, and then when it doesn't respond to like supply chain problems, we're stunned. But I mean, I was talking yesterday about the takeover where Kansas City Southern, for those who haven't been watching, is under a bidding war between the Canadian Pacific and the Canadian National, right? Mm-hmm. And they're bidding for the Kansas City Southern. Now, in the last 20 years. One of those, I don't know, I think the Canadian National bought the IC, Illinois Central, which, for those who don't know, is the center of the country. It was one of the first railroads that goes essentially from Chicago to New Orleans and spikes out all the places.
Up and down and splits in Memphis.
The train they call the city of New Orleans. That was the IC train. And it was really the reason for the great migration in the U.S., African American people from the South came north into a lot of the factories in Chicago and other places. Basically, came north on the IC, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the city of New Orleans. I mean, they piled on the train, came up here, and got a job. And so, the Canadian National, I believe, bought them, and one of the two of them bought the Wisconsin Central. Now, here we have it. Let's say a decade later, they're bidding for the Kansas City Southern. Now, there's not very many railroads left.
No,
and. So, what I was saying the other day, now this is you being a professor, I think is going to agree with me. Someplace, somewhere, you would think that with all the bleeps we pay in government, that somebody must be doing something somewhere, that there has to be a report, a white paper that three people sat down and spent some time on. What has been the long-term effects of Canadian railroads buying two railroads here? Now, is the Wisconsin Southern, Wisconsin Central, and the IC, do they serve more cities? Did the Canadian National buy them just because they wanted one or two lines and the rest are not serving the towns? Yeah. Have they been abandoned? Have they put money into the system? Has there been net capital investment, which I'm sure was all over the papers that got it approved in the first place, how much money they were going to put in the thing. Did they, in fact, do what they said they were going to do? Has capital been invested? Does the IC look a hell of a lot better now than it did 20 years ago when it was kind of dilapidated, and these guys said they were going to fix. I should be able to dig into a drawer and pull this out, or ask somebody, come back in a week with an analysis of this. Is anybody doing anything like that? I mean, instead of worrying about the money and how much per share, I mean, if they've done a horse bleep job on the IC, why would we even think of letting somebody take over to Kansas City Central or Kansas City Southern when, by all accounts, it's one of the most vibrant entrepreneurial type railroads in the country, if not the most. Why would we ever let that happen if, in fact, they did a horse bleep job with the other two? I mean, what's wrong with this?
Well, they should. I mean, they shouldn't from a logic standpoint, but who's to say they did a good or a bad job, first off? And do you want the government arbitrarily saying, "Well, you got we didn't, you know, this merger didn't work particularly well for you, so we're just not going to let you merge with anybody
else"?
Well,
when
yeah, I mean, you during the first hour you were talking about how or I think Kevin said, you know, they slowly kind of pulling things away from us. If you're going to start blocking things based on opinion like that,
well,
if you're going to start blocking things like opinion based on your opinion as to whether or not they did a good job or a bad job,
but we're down to five.
You're going to let the government just start dictating. Going to let the government start dictating who gets to open when there's a virus floating around and who doesn't?
Okay, well, I'll use the term six railroads.
Yeah.
All right, and you went to five when you let the Canadian National buy these guys.
Yeah.
And in there, there's going to be people that say, hey, we're starting to get way too concentrated. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be...
Now, that's the one thing that I think you can quantify that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But on the other side, because it was approved, the company gave you this voluminous hunk of paper that said, no, that the IC has been underinvested, blah, 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 because they didn't have money, because it was poorly managed. By the way, we're pretty well managed, and we're going to add... They should have been spending $2 billion a year for the last 20 years. They've spent one. That's why the thing looks horse bleep.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're going to catch up on that. We're going to start investing $3 billion because we think this is a massive opportunity. And oh, by the way, the IC has dropped 25 small towns in the last 3 years, and we're going to not only not let that happen anymore, we're going to return service to 15 of the 25. It should be very easy to quantify, but those guys promised. It's not a question of me being... Well, it shouldn't be a question of me being overarching, government. It should be, this is what these guys said they were going to do. Did they do it? Right?
Right.
It should be easy to say, what do you mean? They blew up another 50 towns and they invested half as much as the IC was investing. Or they did everything they said they were going to do. This is the best thing that ever happened to railroading in the Midwest. It could be either one, right?
Right. But I think the government's job is to make sure that we're not going to end up with a two railroad monopoly.
But how are we doing? How are we doing with that?
Are there railroad issues that I'm not aware of?
Well, there's two going west and two going east.
Yeah,
and there's one of them.
You guys have a great map of that on the wall here too, which I'm looking at. Yeah, there are only three ways to get west on the express. Well, there's four ways to get west if you're willing to go up near Canada.
There's only the same.
I'm always willing to go up near Canada.
All right.
Well, there's only the same four passes that they were identified in 1860. But the mountains haven't moved.
No, they have not.
Now, you know, if we just get those mountains to move a little, SP Futures up 1, NASDAQ Futures down 19. Be right. Maybe Russell and his students can get these mountains to move a little bit. Move a mountain. We'll be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Russell and I are talking railroads, man. Imagine that. We're looking at the BNSF
map
up here with all the different lines on it. Just
you know, I could just leave the recording going and you guys could keep it going probably till like noon if you're talking railroads.
Well, there's some... I mean, you might know this. You've heard me say it before. You know, 20% of the land in this country was given to the five Western railroads, Russell.
Oh, yeah.
In return for... 20%, like, that's a lot. We got, like 10 miles on either side of the tracks. That's a lot.
That's an awful lot, especially if you want to start building some railroad towns.
Also, real quick, remind me when I'm done with this, because one of the most interesting income properties is an abandoned railroad down in, what's the oil thing in Texas? Isn't that what's the field down there?
Where Cushing?
Where they're doing the fracking in Texas. There's one. What the hell's the name of that one? There's one up in Dakota, and there's one
Permian.
The Permian Basin.
Yeah. That's owned by a defunct railroad that never got 10 miles out of Fort Worth.
Wow.
It was given to them by the government. Anyway, we'll tell that story.
How do I get these things?
Yeah, no kidding. How do we get these things? Yeah. S&P futures down up 25 cents. Nasdaq futures down a 25 bucks, which is interesting because Amazon's up 12, but we got Google up 119. Is they beat on top and bottom line?
I think Microsoft was down some.
Microsoft is down 649.
Tesla's down some, so that's called diversification.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
Well, Tesla's only down 12 bucks, but anyway.
You got Google though, right?
Yeah.
Google's up.
There you go. I have my 5,000 shares.
Yeah.
Nice.
Alphabet. Just kidding. Alphabet. Now, I assume you've got the A shares so you can vote against whatever his name is. Just saying. Anyway, over in Europe, we've got moderate to the upside. DAX up 68.5%. We got FTSE up 37.5%. CAC around up 41.7%. In Asia, we got the Nikkei up 62.2%, Shanghai up 14.4%, Hang Seng up 129.4%. So we're moderately bullish just about everywhere. Bonds up 1 basis point to 1.63. That used to be 30 seconds, right? When they used to be quoted that way.
Yep.
Bund 10-year minus 0.22. It's been creeping up just about every day of the last 10 on its way towards... maybe towards zero, we'll see. I still can't imagine that there's negative interest rates someplace in the world, Russell, but there are. Japan, positive 0.09. UK, positive 0.82, which is up 5 basis points. It's a big move in UK today. Oil's bullish, up 56 cents, 63.50. Brent up 46 cents, 66.88. Natural gas up 3 cents, 290. RBOB up 1 cent at 203. Gold going the other way. On 1390, because gold doesn't like interest rates going up, which they are a little bit, to 1764, still a long way from that 1688 low it made. Silver down 43 cents, 2597. Copper unchanged, 448. Palladium up down 50 bucks, 2902. It is interesting, I don't know if you've noticed this, Russell, is the secondary metals, copper, aluminum, all those things, palladium, are all going to the moon. Gold and silver are not.
Because you need them to make stuff.
Yeah. Crypto up 366 bucks. The Bitcoin, 55,193. Maddie, what do you got for us for Heavy Weather Sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. The Edens is our issue so far this morning. There's a crash on the northbound side just before Winnetka Road. That's blocking the right lane, and that has the Edens all backed up. If you're heading on the outbound side of the Edens, Kennedy, normal traffic times starting to build heavily from O'Hare into downtown, about 40 minutes it looks like. Same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson, starting to see a lot of red there due to growing traffic volume. Southside expressways are all quiet as far as accidents are concerned, but normal traffic volumes building on the Ryan. Off the expressways, we have one crash in the area. That's North Avenue at Swift Road out in the western suburbs. But everything else all quiet out there. Weather today, a lot different than the last couple of days. Cold, clouds, rain on and off throughout the day. A high of just 59. Even colder by the lake, because we'll just be in the upper 40s. Right now it's overcast and 48 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 83 today. Right now it's clear and 56. In sports, not a good night for our Chicago baseball teams. White Sox blew a late lead to Detroit, falling to the Tigers 5-2. Cubs continue to struggle. They've now lost four in a row after winning four in a row, as they were shut out last night by the Braves down in Atlanta 5-0. Diamondbacks had a win, though. They beat the Padres 5-1. And in hockey, Blackhawks were blown out last night, losing to Tampa 7-4. Chief.
So, Maddie, what does it say when the two ladies that I spend most time close to, the lady who works in the office with us, and my significant other, both have taken concealed carry in the last week?
What does that say about them?
About
or
me.
Or about you?
Or them, or together.
Well, they want to protect you.
It says their likelihood of dying from a gunshot went up by about 5 million percent.
Yeah, so yesterday I had a few minutes, so I was digging around. I was looking at Derringers, right, because I just seen this special on Derringers. You wouldn't believe the imagination. They have one called a snake killer. It's got a caliber.
I hope that's not referring to you.
Well, this is no. They're actually talking about a slithering snake, not a two-legged snake. And it has a it's calibrated so that if you actually have to shoot a snake, you can. Now, if you can hit a snake with a Derringer, you have a pretty damn good shot, I would think. Even though I'm not a gun guy, but there is one. It's like the backcountry partner or something. They call it a backcountry something something. So there's two chambers in the Derringer, right? So the top one is designed for if somebody jumps you or a carjacker or something. It's a bullet designed for, like, a person, I guess. And somebody's within 7 or 10 feet, it can be pretty effective. The bottom one, again, I'm not a... It's a 40-70 government. Russell, do you have any idea what the hell that is? But the shell is huge. I mean, it's huge. And it's and they said if you have to shoot that one, you're probably going to, like, break your hand with the discharge. It is actually designed for like a grizzly bear jumping on your ass and you have to pull it out of your pocket and shoot the grizzly bear. It's designed to like take down a bear.
Well, I think that everyone should carry guns.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that anytime someone bumps into you, you just pull out a gun and shoot them. On the train, on the bus, whatever. I think if someone cuts you off in traffic, you just shoot them.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt.
You know, if someone's dog barks at your dog, you shoot the dog. And I think that's...
No, you can't shoot the dog.
I think that's what we should do. We
shoot
should
the
all
owner.
Carry.
Shoot the owner.
Yes, let's be the Old West. I think that's what we should do.
I'd shoot the owner. I wouldn't shoot the dog.
By the way, we got a bunch of Twitter comments that I'll read real quick. Natachi writes in, Chief, the more you complain about Biden's stimulus and infrastructure bills, the better they sound.
Wow.
And he linked to a CNBC article that says Biden job approval hits 53%, all-time high. Broad majority also support his infrastructure plan on CNBC.
That's because they hadn't read the plan yet.
I think that there is a...
I like it till I read it.
There's a dramatic group of people in this country that actually believe this bull bleep that the largesse I receive is going to be paid for by other people. And as long as you believe that, I have a bridge for you. The idea that the 80% of the people all of a sudden are going to start getting these checks and all this stuff, and don't worry, the other 20% are going to pay for it because they're bad people to start with, and they made all this money. Now, I mean, Natachi knows that nobody is more strident than me regarding the people that have this incredible wealth that they cheated to get by either not paying taxes, mostly not paying taxes, or by moving patents overseas and not paying taxes. Nobody could possibly want to get that money out of those people, out of their hide, more than me. But the idea that a family can just work and have you know, get promotions, do stuff, and make $500,000 a year and save their money as being bad people. I can't go there. I absolutely cannot go there. And the idea is that everybody over 200,000 a year is just by definition a bad person, and we need to get money out of them to pay for my stuff. I can't do that. I'm way too much of an American for that. So,
well, I tend to agree with your sentiment there, but I do think an infrastructure bill isn't necessarily what you're talking about.
But from where?
Ideally, that benefits everyone.
It could, but Manny, we've been.
I mean, we've needed some sort of infrastructure, what upgrade or refresh or whatever you want to call it for a long time. I think.
I think we should talk. This is going to sound awful. I think we should talk for 20 years about being required that everybody gets laid once a week. Let's just talk about it. Without any sort of... we've been talking about infrastructure for how long? You and I have been doing the show for 10 years. I guarantee you it was around 20 years before that. It's like motherhood.
No, I get that. You know, but at some point, we actually have to... We have to revamp the infrastructure at some point. Otherwise, it literally will crumble. I mean, you have to do stuff.
But the question comes down to...
You always talk about some of the great things that this country has done, whether it's the Golden Gate Bridge or the railroads or the interstate highways. I mean, we paid for that.
Right,
you remember that, right?
Right,
that didn't come for free.
It's a two-part question. We have people that have been paying into... Every time you go fill up, I should know this because my Suburban has a 42-gallon tank. Every time I pay gas, I go gas, I'm paying, what am I paying? 45, 50 cents a gallon in tax. Now, are you telling me that the money I've been paying for the last 10 years...
That was supposed to be making the infrastructure okay.
Making the...
I don't know if you know this, but the Circle downtown's been under construction for 10 years. It's not like they're not doing anything. They don't do it efficiently, but they're doing something.
Well, what I'm saying is, yes, there are... But, I mean, I would like a report... Have those monies been stolen for other areas, and now we've cut back on the infrastructure because we stole the dough, right? I mean, I would much rather say, hey, look, for the last 10 years we haven't spent the highway tax money; we've borrowed it for God knows what else.
It's been redistributed.
Yeah, I'd like.
I'm with you on that.
I'd like somewhat of a. Everybody knows I try not to. I have my opinions, obviously, and they're strong in a lot of ways. But the one opinion that I absolutely have that I really wish everybody, Natasha and everybody, would feel the same way I do, is I want to know the information behind where I can make the right decision. That is my absolute common criticism. Before I have Trump or Biden, you know, with diarrhea of the mouth talking about infrastructure, I want to know, first of all, why... The locks and dams in Illinois have not been replaced since 1934, when every time the guy fills up his tank with diesel, he's paying taxes. Mm. I need to know where that money's going before I know if I need more.
Well,
right?
So, and actually, you were short on what your fuel tax is. It's 94 cents a gallon in Chicago.
Jesus.
Yeah, I found a breakdown of it. 1% of it goes to the RTA. So 1% of it goes to like the Metra and the CTA. 1.75% is Cook County. Chicago gets 1.25%. The state gets 6.25%.
Well, what's the federal is 12.5, right?
Federal is,
12.5 cents, I think.
It's 18 cents now.
Okay.
That 18 cents is supposed to keep the interstate highways, the ones that are under federal jurisdiction, tollways.
The burn interchange.
Yeah. Those things, that's what that's supposed to be paying for. That's what it's supposed to have been for a long time, but I will bet you that 1% that goes into the RTA, that, you know, that's what the tax is, but I'll bet it all goes into one big old fund.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the 2 cents a gallon that's supposed to go to the Regional Transit Authority doesn't all make it there.
I don't want another bill named Homeland Security that I can't argue against because what are you against Homeland Security?
I love bill titles.
Yeah, but
I want a debt relief act, and then when you read it, it's money to pay off Russell Rhodes' debt.
Yeah.
What are you against, leaving children behind?
Yeah, the Patriot Act. What are you?
Well, I've got kids.
The Patriot Act. You want your mom raped by some guy wearing a turban?
For God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, right? Yeah. Wasn't that the reason for the Patriot Act? And yet, at the end of the day, what do we have? Less less freedom for Americans with very, very few terrorists caught, is right?
Yeah, but we just don't know all the things that they prevented that could have happened.
Well, do we know that? I mean, would we want Russell on the air if he was against the Patriot Act? What is he, not a patriot? Why do we want to?
I was against the Patriot Act from day one.
What are you not?
Still
a patriot?
Am.
Are you not?
No,
a patriot?
I'm not a patriot. Jesus, no. God, I would never worship a flag. I don't get that. By the way, Robert writes in, and I missed who you guys were talking about. I don't know if this is in reference to Trump, but he says, if you were sitting around Pit 6 doing nothing in 1995 and found out Blankhead was on the other side of a trade you were in, how quickly would you have gotten out of the MF-er? But it's okay for him to run the country?
Let's put it this way. I am on record as saying, in a place where you couldn't renege on your trades, Trump would have lasted 4 hours in a pit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a back. I mean, nobody would have tried. You may as well just not be there.
Yet, people love the guy, and I'll never understand it.
Well, I mean, but again, Matty, you have to.
I wouldn't trust that guy to run a Dairy Queen.
I don't disagree, but you have to dig into. Well, look at what Biden's coming up with now. I don't believe anything the man says.
I'm no Biden fan, but to put him in the same category as Trump, I would not.
I think the last person that was president, and this is not even during my lifetime, that I started going backwards with what you just said. I think Eisenhower is the last one that I would probably let run a business for me.
I'm going to say Jerry. Really? I'm going to say Jerry Ford.
You know what? That's a good call. I skipped right over him, but yeah, I think I would. That's one too.
And guess what?
Because I think he was very selfless in some of the things that he did just to get the whole country back on track.
And what sets him apart?
You don't think Bill Clinton would be a good CEO? Like him or love, like him or hate him is his sort of his personal morals.
Know,
but the guy
late to a meeting because you're getting a Hummer from an intern. I just don't know if that's a guy I want working for.
Say you start 5 minutes late. Who
yeah,
cares?
No, oh, that guy's he doesn't move very fast. We got time here. Don't worry
I'm with
about
you
it.
On that. The moral side of it is a little weird, but I think the guy was a pretty good CEO for the most part.
I think former governors, because they really do have to administer a lot of things. Former governors, that is a great training spot to become president.
I have a question. This is it's an off color question, but I'll ask it anyway.
Go ahead.
I understand. I heard that there's like a brand of pool table that is like the world's best pool table, and it costs like a fortune. Mm-hmm. And there's a few of them in the White House, and there's a few of them at Camp David. Just saying, as you're setting the story up.
Uh-huh.
One of the excerpts of the Secret Service book the guy wrote regarding the Clinton administration, evidently one day... Eleanor Mondale, who had, shall we say, a certain zest for living, was in the White House with Bill as, what was her name? The girl with the dress?
Monica Lewinsky.
As Monica was trying to get in the back gate of the White House, as Hillary was running around the White House looking for Bill. And evidently, Bill and Monica, shall we say, were doing the deed on one of the pool tables.
I love it.
And the Secret Service guy said, I really didn't know how to call this one. Should I let Monica in? And when we didn't let her in, she was pissed off. And we wouldn't tell Hillary where he was, she was pissed off. Now, my question is, I mean, none of us are going to invite her to the White House, but if we did, would we really want to play pool there?
Probably not.
Knowing what had happened on the pool table, would you at least want to know which table was the one?
Yeah, like
I'm saying, even though I love to play pool, I might sit this one out.
Yeah.
Just saying. Now, I don't know. I'm sure it's been cleaned up since then, but anyway. But talk about the weird things that some of us think about. But
Sven Henrik, who we follow on Twitter, who's pretty funny, he says, breaking, CDC says there is no longer a need for put protection.
There you go. We've known that for a while. That's what the our put protection speaks at 1:30 Chicago time today.
is it just me? You know, I think when it's coming down to it, since we had Hal Snyder on last week, what are we up to? We're up to three professors, four if you count John Flanagan, four professors on the show.
Wow.
So am I?
We're just talking from our ivory towers.
No, but I'm saying it is. So every time one of these bleeps is here, these professors, sorry, hey. Russell,
yeah.
I get the feeling that I'm getting graded. So every time I say something, I should have to have something behind what I say.
Yeah.
Which clearly sets me apart from any politician. I mean, Maddie, you'll never get me to argue against you that Trump was a consummate liar. Because our buddy Dr. Blade said that if you gave the man a lie detector test, he'd be a flat liar. He was, it was a name for it, a narcissistic something something, that he doesn't even care. In his mind, if he felt like saying it, he just said it. There's no such, mm-hmm. that he, you wouldn't even be able to catch him on a lie detector because he doesn't even, it, there's no difference between a lie and the truth. But if you talk to people that are serious Trumpers, I mean, some of them are very close to me, their attitude is, I've never met a politician who didn't lie to me on every subject that, that I cared about, so he's just a little worse. What's the difference?
I, you know, and I absolutely hate that. That just because they all do it, does that make it okay?
Drives me nuts.
I mean, yeah, well, it, I just, I,
it's like,
I
get a life.
You know, it's like, you know, when Hillary didn't get charged for some of the email things that were probably illegal, and I wasn't trying to start a fight at work, but I just said, man, I'm really surprised she didn't get charged with something. And all of a sudden, I got this hyper-liberal person that I worked with just started screaming out all these things that Republicans had done and never gotten in trouble for.
Well, I mean,
and I was
here's
like,
an idea. How about all of them get in trouble?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this morning the guy that was doing 90 in the service lane on the Eisenhower, if I had gone flying past the Chicago cop and they got me instead of him, it's like, well, you know, I was still breaking the law as well.
Yeah, how hard's the cop going to laugh when you say, "Hey, what about that
what
other
about
guy
that
going
guy out? There that you wouldn't have been able to catch?"
Yeah.
I'll get him next time. Here's your ticket.
Yeah.
Well, you do reach a point where, and this is where it always, I mean, what did Kathy Durbin used to say? I'm seething. I mean, I am secretly always seething because I don't see any sort of, you know, being the son of a Southside cop, I don't see any sort of rigorous study, rigorous enforcement in any of this stuff. I mean, we had the Hunter Biden situation. We've got some of the stuff that we know went down in China. We've got we've got people on the Republican side. It's obvious to me that just like I'm talking about here with Biden's plan here this morning, that there's going to be a troop of all kinds of really nasty, awful people. They're going to follow this $225 billion that's supposedly going to go to child care. And I'm going to say at the end of the day, Russell, mm-hmm. if $50 billion makes it to child care into people's pockets, it's a very successful bill. And I just wanted at the end of the day with the Hunter Biden, I don't care if it's Biden's kid, if it's somebody else's kid, if it's Jarrett, what's the family. It appears to me that whenever this government sends money to people, I mean, look at the creatures that Trump had on his Flynn, all these other guys that all of a sudden became consultants to the money in Yugoslavia, the people in Yugoslavia. Where did that money come from? It didn't come from Yugoslavians. It came from people here.
Yeah, it was the foreign aid that worked its way right back.
So is there a way to say, okay, I don't like any of you people, but here's the top three Republicans and Democrats. Can you guys come to Camp David for a weekend? We're going to bring some people from the Justice Department, bring some people from the FBI. And oh, by the way, a few people from the CIA because they operate overseas. Can this group of 12 people, can you give me some kind of a handle? And every time we send $500 million to Outer Mongolia, who from here chases it like a carpetbagger after the Civil War? This is not new, right? That's why they call them carpetbag. I mean, who chases our money and comes back with half of it and it doesn't go anywhere to think we think we sent it? Who are these people and how can we get them to friggin' jail? I mean, nobody cares because what do you mean? They're getting the money? My kid's not getting it? How do I get my kid in there?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's all about, you know, it's like, I don't want to make this racial, I won't. But as you go down to Dan Ryan, if you ever are forced to, if you see a policeman on the side of the road,
mm-hmm.
there's two kinds of people in this world. I'm not going to say three like I usually do, but you're going to see guys like me, they're going to say, the police are out today, even though everybody's going 70, I'll shut it down to 65. Or you're going to see people that said, I know there's only one cop out here, and he's occupied, I'm going to go 100. I mean, and you know that.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that there are people that because the money's out there, and everybody, that's what used to frost me with the old dinosaurs that were on the fossil face guys that were on the board of the CBOE from the outside. They would say, gee, we're going to make an example out of Matt Weber, and we're going to fine him for like position limits. That'll show everybody else that all of a sudden you shouldn't be a no good Nick here. Yet the people from the member firms, all right, they got their one, they got their one scalp for the month. They're not going to get us. Let's double up on our stuff, right? I mean, the idea that we need to stop this, Russell, because our society won't survive it. I don't think.
No, it won't. We're going in a bad direction. Like Kevin said, that it creeps, and then all of a sudden you're kind of surprised.
Yeah,
and we really are under the thumb of government being able to tell us what and what we can't do.
But the difference,
and nobody's really pushing back.
I think the difference, Russell, now is we're broke. We can't have another $2 trillion plan where 25% of the money gets where it's supposed to go.
Right.
I mean, that I think is the difference. But anyway, thank you, Russell. SP Futures up 1, NASDAQ Futures down 22. Thank you for the coffee. Thank you, Maddie, for your input. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit hamzyanalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.